You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by Harrison Fagan. Harrison, on the last episode where your internet dad hopped on here and he said that one of his rules for his XBA would be that journalists have to play 5 minutes or they have to be on the
court. Yeah, I listen to the show when I'm not on. I know what he proposed.
I want to know, Harrison, how terrified you would be at the very thought of guarding any potential NBA players outside of Tyler Ennis.
No, I mean, to be honest, like, I'm not that scared of guarding an NBA player because I know how that's going to go. I know it's going to be failure for me. Like fear, I think, is generated by, like, when you're uncertain of the outcome or you think the outcome is going to be really bad and you know there's not. Like, I know that if I, for some reason, was required to guard an NBA player for any extent of time, that my ankles would be broken. I would probably end up in the hospital. Like, there is just zero chance I could stay in front of any NBA player on the planet for more than 5 seconds. Probably even three, to be honest.
I want this to keep going. I want to keep having this conversation. So basically, I'm gonna really quickly tell people what to expect in the show. We're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about the Lakers game yesterday in which they just lied down in front of the Raptors and said, bring it to me.
If the Raptors were the North, the Lakers were the South in that game.
It did not go very well. We're going to talk about Paul George and Boogie Cousins, the potential updates in those situations given injuries to both of those teams. In DeMarcus Cousins' case, his own injury. In Oklahoma City's case, Andre Roberson gets hurt, and he's going to be out for the year. They're a different team with him on the court than they are without him. So we actually have plenty to talk about despite the humongous pile of vomit that was the Lakers game yesterday afternoon. All right, so I, as always, make sure you guys are following the show, by the way, on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, where Harrison writes, Lakers Outsiders, where I write. Harrison is at HM Fagan on Twitter. I am at Anthony Irwin LA on Twitter. But I want to get back to this. What would you be more nervous about, Harrison? Would you be more nervous about guarding an NBA player or having an NBA player guard you? Because I think the latter would be actually uglier.
Yeah, no, the latter is definitely, because then, like, there's, like, very much a chance you get seriously hurt. Like, because I know that, like, I'm not getting my shot off over any NBA player on the play. Like, I'm fairly tall for an average human being, but that doesn't matter. Like,
no, I mean, everybody in the NBA, is fairly tall for an average human being.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm like 6'4", but, like, that doesn't matter against an NBA player. And so, like, even if I tried to skyhook this thing, it is getting rocketed back in my face at 30 miles an hour. Like, against Tyler Ennis, probably. Like, it would be really sad. Definitely trying to score on an NBA player is scarier in this hypothetical scenario.
You would definitely walk away from that situation with Spalding imprinted on your forehead.
Yeah, probably in multiple areas.
This reminds me of a joke that Jen made that I can't take credit for because it was this good. But she said that I told her about the big Balder brand with Alex Caruso, and she got a kick out of that. And then she added to it that if they were to create a big Balder brand league, that they would be playing with balding basketballs in it. That killed me.
You've truly corrupted Dr. Jen. It's been a sad, sad descent since I first met her.
Oh, man. Shouts to my wife. All right. So
we should talk about the Lakers game a little bit.
I mean, not much, though. Not much. There really isn't much to take away from it.
Don't leave. We're going to talk about fun free agency stuff, but we should address the elephant in the room, and that is that the Lakers were like, honestly, they just kind of seem to go through the motions against Toronto, and Toronto's the number 2 seed in the East, and normally the Lakers have played up to their competition this year, but their transition defense looked fairly lackadaisical. Like, I don't know, I just, like, they just didn't look like they were feeling it, and the Raptors didn't really look like they were feeling it. Like, honestly, they should have just called off that game. I don't think anybody wanted to play it.
Toronto nightlife is undefeated. Is my analysis.
Well, no, apparently, I mean, we always say that as a joke when it's like a team that, you know, Matt Moore doesn't say that about, but Toronto nightlife apparently is pretty good.
Yeah, that was crazy. I was shocked by how many people were saying, like, actually, no, Toronto nightlife is really good. There's strip clubs out there.
No, Toronto nightlife is, like, pretty legendary. Like, there's a reason, you know, Drake still hangs out at, like, in Toronto despite being a millionaire.
Do you want to move our show out to Toronto?
Yeah, let's do Locked On Lakers from Toronto for no discernible reason.
All right, in terms of actual, like, if you want to talk about the game, the Raptors are kind of like, I tweeted this out, but the Raptors are basically the NBA's Mad Men, where, like, it was a really good show. In my opinion, it's one of the top 7-ish shows that I've ever watched. I've watched it start to finish at least twice at this point, but it was overshadowed by everything going on around it. It was Mad Men in terms of critical acclaim. It was Walking Dead in terms of ratings. It was Game of Thrones was just getting started around that time as well. It's not put on the same platform or on the same pedestal as, like, Sopranos even, but it was a really good show, and I feel like the Lakers, They basically sat down with about as much enthusiasm as I would have if I had to rewatch Mad Men from start to finish again, because there's so many better options out there, especially now that Breaking Bad is in 4K on Netflix.
Yeah, I mean, I was telling somebody in the office where I was watching the game about the Raptors right now, and they're like, aren't they terrible? And I was like, well, okay, that probably shows you about where the Raptors' national relevance is. They're the second seed in the East. And, you know, somebody who admittedly is not, like, a big NBA follower, but, like, somebody was saying, like, aren't they really bad? And I'm like, no, honestly, this is, like, objectively probably the best era in Raptors history, I think, over the last couple of years. They're the second seed in the East. Yeah, they're a really good team. It just doesn't matter at all because LeBron James and the Warriors exist.
And now the Celtics, yeah, and even the Philly. I think Philly gets more national attention than the Raptors do. Right?
I don't even mean just in terms of attention. I just meant, like, when I was talking about was, like, the last, like, you know, couple playoff runs is, like, the Raptors made it pretty far, but, like, you know, LeBron exists, and even if LeBron had, like, died, then, like, and the Raptors made it to the finals, then the Warriors existed, and they would have just eviscerated. They would have made the Raptors go extinct. Yeah. And so I just think that, you know, like, they're obviously a good team, and the Lakers needed to get up for them, and they just didn't today. And so that 4-game winning streak is over, and there just weren't a whole lot of positives to take away from it. Like, a lot of games this year where the Lakers have lost, it's been, like, a little bit of a moral victory, especially against top teams. Like, they've played the Rockets and Warriors close a couple times, and there have been, like, moral victories in that. But today, I don't know, I just didn't really see it. I mean, Nance, I thought, was pretty good, but it really, like, it just didn't matter at all.
Yeah, I really think so, because you mentioned
Caruso continued to be good, and, like, we talked about Ennis being terrible, and, like, really at this point, it's just, like, why is Ennis playing? Like, call up GP2. I actually have a feature coming on him today by the time that you're listening to this, but, yeah.
Yeah, shameless plugs aside, Luke, come on, get Tyler Ennis out of my life. I can't watch this guy play basketball.
I honestly think Ennis is going to hang on until the trade deadline, and, like, they're seeing if they need him as salary ballast or something, and then I think they're going to cut him if they don't trade him. That's my guess. Like, no inside info. That's just my guess.
He's legitimately bad.
Yeah. I just do not understand why he is on the team other than that. That's the cap machinations is the only reason it makes sense in any way.
Yeah.
So on that bright note, free agency.
Yeah, we are going to honestly, like I said, there wasn't much that we were going to be able to talk about with this Raptors game. It the reason I made the Mad Men long-winded analogy was basically to say that, like, I found myself not caring at all. The Lakers have been blown out in other instances this year, and I walked away from that game really annoyed. In this one, they didn't show up against a really good Raptors team. And I think they didn't show up against that really good Raptors team because there wasn't like the national appeal about it. And I walked away from the game like, well, yeah, it's just the Raptors, whatever, move on. And
yeah, and so did the Lakers.
that's really what it came down to. All right, we are going to talk about Paul George. We're going to talk about Boogie. We're going to talk about Andre Roberson a little bit here in a second. It's going to be a fun conversation because one of the things that I hadn't even realized before we went live just popped into my head. So Harrison is going to get some.
Oh God.
This is always fun when Harrison listens to a theory that I have that for the very first time, and you guys all get to listen to that after the break.
So, Anthony, what, like there's that History Channel meme of the guy with the crazy hair that says, like, UFO expert, and he's, like, looking around, and, like, that's how I imagine you whenever you're like, I have a theory on something. I'm going to run it by you. Space is round.
Are you ready?
I don't know.
Somebody, we need to isolate that audio. All right. All right. So here's my big theory. It's not really that crazy. Even by my standards, I would say that this is pretty run of the mill. But although run of the mill for me is like you're talking about meme worthy. But basically,
it's like Egg Abby on Twitter.
Basically, it's that doofus who's comparing Tyler Ennis to Magic Johnson.
That was. There was a man that tweeted during this game that Tyler Ennis and Alex Caruso were comparable to Magic Johnson, which is the meanest thing anyone has ever said about Magic Johnson.
Yeah, no, that was that. We can
get to this later on the show, I guess, but I don't know. I just like maybe we go live reaction. Like the Lakers aren't bringing Nigel Hayes back. His 10-day contract expires today.
Well, he hardly played. So
yeah. I mean, but still, like, normally teams, like, give the guy a second 10-day. But, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess no, they were. The Nigel Hayes era is over.
Well, I was hoping he would be okay so that we could make him. I was hoping he would be okay so that, like, it would be Nigel Bays. Like, I feel like that'd be kind of fun. But other than that, like, that was.
Let's get to the free agents. This got derailed. What's your theory?
All right. So when the All-Star teams were announced, I was a little bummed that Paul George wasn't on it because I feel like Paul George in his hometown city playing in the All-Star game with all of the media attention there might walk away from that kind of saying, hey, you know, this is kind of interesting. This is kind of fun, right? And now that Boogie has torn his Achilles, and we'll talk about Boogie here in a bit about what this changes or if this changes anything with the Lakers potential desire to sign him or his availability. But I walked away from the Boogie thing and it was something that just kind of popped in my head that, oh, wow, now Paul George and LeBron are going to be on the same team in the All-Star game in Los Angeles. I feel like that can't be a bad thing, right? Like that.
No, it definitely can't be a bad thing for the Lakers. And to be honest, I'm here to give you the pessimistic view. Here's why this is a bad thing for the Lakers. Magic Johnson cannot be allowed within 500 feet of Staples Center during these proceedings.
He's just going to be winking from his executive.
There is just zero chance he's going to be able to control himself from just winking at Paul George nonstop. And I think to the point where not only would it maybe be like a tampering type fine, but it's probably just going to make Paul George uncomfortable at some point. I think like Magic just like, you know, just like giving him the two thumbs up and just winking at him over and over again and like pointing at the Staples Center retired banners and retired jerseys and all that. Like it's like they need to distract Magic that weekend.
I'm trying to think like who would the like oh man, what's his name? Jamal Wilkes's son, I think, is in the Lakers organization.
Yeah, that's what they're gonna have him do is just like take Magic like shopping that weekend or something. Yeah, I don't know.
Your job is to make sure Magic doesn't incur another $500,000 fine.
Yeah, exactly. Like you, he has the most important job in the Lakers organization that weekend.
But yeah, I mean, the theory itself, You didn't scream at me. You didn't tell me to shut up. You didn't.
No, I think in all seriousness, the theory is a decent one. I think, and it certainly, like you said, it certainly can't hurt the Lakers' chances, barring the bizarre scenario that I outlined. Like those two guys feeling like, hey, this is actually pretty fun to play together, and hey, that we're getting huge standing ovations from Staples Center. Like it can't. It definitely can't hurt the Lakers' chances. How much it actually helps them, I'm not really sure. Like, are these guys really not aware that they play pretty well together? Are they really not aware that Los Angeles would love it if they showed up? Like, I don't know. I think the more meaningful thing outside of, like, DeMarcus Cousins' injury putting Paul George in the All-Star game to play with LeBron, I think the more meaningful thing is, A, like, as far, like, that's one less huge name option that the Lakers are probably going to go after, because I wouldn't anticipate they go after a player, another star player coming off of a torn Achilles. Like, I don't know.
I disagree, and we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about this on the other side of the break. So wait, you honestly think that the Lakers would not pursue DeMarcus Cousins at this point?
Yeah, again, like, not me reporting anything.
No,
just to be 100% clear, I'm not that well sourced.
This
but
is all
like,
speculative.
Yeah, believe it or not, Rob Pelinka and I do not have like a texting relationship. Or
like, if you were Rob Pelinka, would you prefer pursue Boogie?
Well, that's a very different question than if I would pursue Boogie, because Rob Pelinka, pretty good track record with players coming off of ACLs, because he didn't have to worry about whether or Achilles, because he didn't have to worry about whether or not they played again. He got his nice little 15% commission and got to wipe his hands of it. But I think Nate, for him, to be honest, like, if it was me and I was Rob Pelinka and I had just watched like how that Kobe thing went. Obviously, the circumstances are different. Kobe was much older. Kobe, much different player than DeMarcus Cousins. But having watched how hard it was for Kobe to just come back and even be a shell of himself, I would think, like, this is not – and then also given DeMarcus Cousins' kind of well-reported sometimes attitude issues, I would be very terrified to sign a player like that to any type of guaranteed long-term money coming off of an Achilles injury. Like, I know that we've said in the past you would just have to sign talent if you're the Lakers, but this is the type of thing where if you sign him, that's a make or break thing for your regime. If he shows out, then you're golden. But if he comes back and he just is not DeMarcus Cousins and he's not willing to take the back seat despite not being DeMarcus Cousins, then I mean, and then even if he is, like, you've just committed all this money to a guy that maybe can't play coming off of his Achilles, because just big men, like NBA players in general, don't return from Achilles well. And like Rudy Gay has kind of bucked that trend in recent years, but there just aren't a whole lot of
Spurs or Wizards.
Yeah, there just aren't a whole lot of post-Achilles success stories. And if it was me, I would be terrified with all of those factors of signing him to long-term money.
You did a good job of making the case against it. So I'm kind of leaning in the same direction. But
I convinced you.
But
okay, this is a locked on Lakers first.
This is a first.
Down from a position because of the argument that I made.
This is a first. I'm still gonna try to make the points that I was a second ago. Are you ready?
I mean, I guess. Seems disingenuous now if you've come around to me.
Well, I'm not.
We'll just cut that part. So Anthony, why do you disagree?
I don't think that this Achilles injury is as devastating as the other ones in the history of the league. I mean, you're talking about, I think Isaiah Thomas was the first guy to blow his Achilles, and he wasn't the same. And then Kobe blew his, and he wasn't
Isaiah
the same.
Thomas, right.
Brandon,
not the sequel.
What's that?
The first Isaiah Thomas, correct? Not the sequel.
No, not the little guy. Not that guy. But
not the one that feuds with Paul Pierce.
not the one who is going to break up the Cavs. Isaiah, spelt incorrectly, blew his Achilles. I think I don't know that for sure, but I'm pretty sure he did, and he was never.
I'm pretty
the
sure
same
that was the, yeah that was an Achilles injury.
And then Kobe did, obviously, and we saw what that did to his career. Brandon Jennings blew his, and he played last year, but he was a shell of himself as well. He wasn't nearly the same player, and he was already a bad NBA player in the first place.
Probably still mad that LA is embracing Alonzo over him.
Yeah, Wesley Matthews is trying to come back from it as well, but he hasn't been the same player since he tore his Achilles. And Rudy Gay, like you said, is the only one who has had any kind of success, really, who has come anywhere near, say, 75% to 80% of what he was before the Achilles, although I think he's injured.
And DeMarcus Cousins, too, the thing to keep in mind here is, like, I don't want to – I'm not a doctor. I don't know DeMarcus Cousins' health situation. But just looking at him, he does not look like a guy that's always in the best shape. And that's another thing to me where, like, how hard you have to work to even get back to anything after Achilles injury. DeMarcus Cousins has to have worked hard to be as good as he is. But, like, you can't – it's not the type of thing where you can, like, kind of lapse. You know, you could take a cheat day on your rehab, you know? Like, yeah. I'd just be very, very nervous signing him to a long-term deal coming off of that type of injury. And that, like, the impact of this on the Lakers is, like, he wasn't even their first option. But the teams that he was their first option, you know, are now a little bit more interested in the other free agents on the market. And so whether or not that affects the guys that were ahead of the Lakers, ahead on the Lakers list, like Paul George and LeBron – but I think it might affect the guys that were lower on the totem pole to where even in like a kind of like not that strong class, there's even less names available. And this is the type of thing where like domino effect, this could affect the Lakers' future for years because they may not be able to sign like bargain guys. So do they do the Jim and Mitch thing where they overpay someone? They're saying they won't, but we'll see what happens. Like we'll see how they evaluate players versus how we evaluate players and how they evaluate who's worth big money and who isn't. And then, like, if they don't sign those guys, then maybe all of a sudden this becomes a slow and steady rebuild instead of a we're just going to sign max players this summer type thing.
I hope that they find a middle ground. Like, I hope that they realize that there might be discounts out there to be had because the Lakers are going to be only one of, like, five teams with cap space.
We'll see. Maybe they use that cap space to trade for another bad contract. And get like an asset in exchange and kick these tires down the road.
I think that would be
fairly untenable given how long they've been rebuilding. But they could do it.
No,
you know, like
I don't
if there was a, if there was a group in sports that had the amount of cash to be able to pull it off in
it's
LA,
cachet, whatever.
If it was also cash, it would be because they can afford to pay the players. Mm-hmm. But it would be like the owner, Jeannie Buss's like best friend, who is also a Los Angeles legend, Magic Johnson. Like, I feel like pretty much whatever Magic says, the majority, not a lot of the listeners of this podcast, to be clear, but the majority of Lakers fans, I think, are going to fall in line with whatever Magic says to the point where he could get away with it, I think. And he has the job security to get away with it. And then if it works out, then he's golden.
All right.
And we all of a sudden have a very dark next 3 years of Lakers basketball. I'm sorry, everyone.
No, I don't think we need to go quite that far. I don't think it necessarily needs to extend that far in the hypothetical. But I do think, though, what the point I was going to make.
Connect the dots, Anthony.
The reason I was – look who is the meme now. Like, who is the aliens meme now? But the point that I was going to make earlier was that I was listing all these guys who had Achilles injuries earlier, and there are a lot of wings, a lot of guards who rely heavily on explosive, fast twitch muscle fiber, right? Explosiveness, athleticism that I don't think Boogie quite relies on. I think he's very skilled.
He can post up and he can shoot, obviously, but he does try to blow by guys off the dribble a fair amount. And no, so that part of his game might be impacted significantly. And a big part of his value, too, is pushing pace as a 7-footer.
I think if Boogie comes back and he's Brook Lopez, would you sign Brook Lopez to a max deal? No, right?
Nope.
And so what you got to ask is, all right, what kind of deal would you be okay with signing Boogie to? Do you think there's a team out there who will offer him a max deal?
Yeah, I think the Pelicans will.
I think you let them at that point make that potential mistake.
I think you definitely do. And I think the Pelicans are desperate enough to just do it. Like, he kind of has them over a barrel at this point. They can't just let him walk. and like go back and like go back to Anthony Davis and be like, hey, you know, like he was going to be expensive.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the smarter organization would do. I think that's what the Spurs
would
do.
But I think they're desperate to. They just seem desperate based on all the reports that we ever hear out of there. They 100%. Scream desperation.
They do. They are one of those NBA teams who are more interested in putting seats or asses in seats than they are putting wins in the win column. Right. That's what they're and you can't if you let Boogie walk. There's a good chance that people do not sit down and watch your games, and I don't think the Pelicans can do that kind of thing. And the only thing that I would say regarding Boogie at this point is that this does potentially, if let's say the Pelicans do kind of wise up and offer Cousins a shorter term deal for a ton of money, which in my opinion is the smarter thing to do anyway, but. If, let's say they offer him a deal that that maybe the Lakers could beat. Maybe they offer more years, but at less guaranteed money per year over the extent of that contract. Then yeah, I think the Lakers should really look into that situation. But yeah, I think this brings their focus. I think it was already he was already, like you said earlier, kind of low on their free agent desired.
Not low, but below LeBron and Paul George.
Yeah, he is now. I think at this point, not really an option. It would have to be a perfect situation to do so.
Perfect situations rarely materialize.
Yeah, and so I do want to though. We've spent all this time on Boogie Cousins, but I think the Andre Robertson injury is about as impactful as Boogie's injury itself, right?
Yeah, and at the risk of sounding like a Boston blogger and being like, "Hey, what does this injury mean for your favorite team?" You know, like I do, but it does somewhat, as you pointed out before we went on air, it does impact the Lakers' pursuit of Paul George, in that it hurts the Thunder, and maybe it like. You know, it makes them go less far. Maybe he's less satisfied. Although you could also, like, the other point that I was thinking of was that it also kind of gives them, like, an excuse where they're like, hey, if we bring this guy back and we bring you back, then, like, hey, we didn't really get a shot while everyone was healthy.
The Doc Rivers excuse.
Yeah, exactly. Our starting five is undefeated in the playoffs, Paul.
Yeah, this starting lineup has never
literally played zero minutes.
This starting lineup has never lost.
Never lost.
Yeah, I don't think that holds very much weight, frankly, but I think it does. So I want to before we start analyzing like the situation here with the Lakers and their chances at Paul George, I do think it bears mention that we say, hey. When Robertson got hurt, it wasn't like I immediately thought to myself, "Wow, yeah, this is great for the."
Our job is to like analyze what is happening. I think there's been, unlike Lou Williams, who only waited like an hour after DeMarcus Cousins tore his Achilles to start campaigning for his All-Star spot. I think we gave this a little bit enough room to breathe that we can talk about this now.
Yeah, just so that we don't get the angry people yelling at us if there are rabid Andre Robertson fans out there, that I did not in any way, shape, or form. I hated watching him go down in a heap like that. It really sucks.
Yeah, I mean that's like any time a good player goes down and we have like one less interesting basketball team to watch, then that's like a loss.
Yeah. So anyway, so I guess awkward segue, but the Thunder are a significantly different team with Robertson on the court versus when he isn't. The Thunder this year, for all of the offensive firepower that you think of when you think of a team with Paul George and Russell Westbrook and Carmelo Anthony on the court at the same time, for as much as you think that team would be successful offensively and derive a lot of their success off of the offensive side of the court, they've really found their stride playing really good defense, and Andre Robertson is a huge part of that defense. And so,
gigantic.
Frankly, I think he's a top five defender in the NBA.
He'd certainly tell you so, and there are a lot of metrics that paint him as at like around there.
I had
defensive player of the year candidate.
I had somebody ask me, is it harder to replace a defensive player or a scorer in this way? And I don't really know how I feel about that. I'd have to think about that a lot. But this is basically the equivalent of losing a top one or two scorer, right? In terms of impact that he has on the defense, this is like losing the Warriors losing Kevin Durant in terms of offensive impact. Now, Durant also
make Kevin Durant impact on defense, but he makes he's a top two defender on your roster.
Exactly,
I think you're saying. Yeah.
And
on your roster, not
NBA. Yes, the Thunder can theoretically go to Paul George this offseason and say, hey, look, this is the guy that, you know, if we have him, you see the metrics when he's in the lineup versus when he isn't. You saw the type of basketball he was playing right before he went down. Depending on the run that the Thunder make in the playoffs, maybe they can say, look, we were this close in the playoffs without Roberson. What do you think we would look like with him, right? And maybe they convince Paul George that way. But one, I don't think they'll be that close without Roberson in their lineup. I think he makes that big of an impact that they are now at this point a definite first round exit, in my opinion. The other thing too is that if you're Paul George and you reportedly, what was the term that he was regarding how badly he wanted to be a Laker?
Hellbent.
Yes, he was hellbent times two, right? He was
times two. Two separate reports on his hellbentness.
Yeah, and so if you're already that interested in becoming a Laker, then is Andre Roberson really the guy that's going to keep you in a city like Oklahoma City? I don't think he will.
He'd be robbing the Lakers, son.
I like how we've switched spots in this show.
But you know, you are like the audio version of an illness, like an extremely communicable contagion.
Do you just call me a cancer?
No, because cancer isn't contagious.
Oh, that's a good point.
You're like the swine flu.
I am fat. I'll take that. But yeah, I would say though that Andre Roberson isn't the kind of player, or the idea of the thought of Andre Roberson coming back isn't the type of thought that would keep Paul George in Oklahoma City. So you combine the Boogie injury, where maybe a troublesome target is now probably off of the board for the Lakers. You combine that with that allowing Paul George to play in an All-Star game in his hometown alongside on the very same team as LeBron, and then Oklahoma City potentially being a much different team now that Roberson is out. And I'm going to sound calloused, so go ahead and yell at me if you will, but this was a pretty good weekend for the Lakers.
Wow, you are going to tear your Achilles walking down the stairs.
Yes.
Now, yeah. You have earned it at this point.
I actually just ruptured it right now. It popped, as I said, Lakers at the end of
the season. Actual effect on Anthony, who like can barely walk anyway.
Mm-hmm. No, it doesn't.
Not what you would call an athlete anymore.
I am not what anybody would call an athlete. If anybody calls anybody who looks like me an athlete, then you gotta head to Webster and relearn.
Yeah, no, I mean, this weekend, like, we just History Channel alien expert guy memed it up for you guys. And there's just, like, a lot of dots to connect here on how this affects the Lakers. And I guess ultimately we'll see, but I think either way it affects them. We'll just see if it ends up being, like, you know, you're a little bit more optimistic. I think I'm a little bit more pessimistic, which is kind of...
I don't really know. Yeah, that's basically... That should be the subtitle to our show. Locked on Lakers. Anthony is a little bit more optimistic. Harrison is a little more pessimistic.
People will still hate Anthony regardless.
People will be like, optimistic? Get out of here. He hates Kobe. All right.
Optimistic. He said there was a chance the Lakers wouldn't sign Paul George and LeBron.
What a hater. I apologize, everybody, in advance. Who are getting ready to yell at me for whatever reason they are going to. That'll do it though for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. This was a fun one. It was kind of tea leafy. It was hugely tea leafy. It was
a little scatterbrain. But we appreciate you guys always sticking with us.
Yeah. Let us know what you think. If you agree with me that maybe we're a little bit more optimistic than we were at the beginning of the weekend, cool. Make sure you say that in the iTunes reviews to shout down everybody who apparently hates me. If you agree with Harrison, make sure you at him personally and you say, high five, Harrison, Anthony stinks. And
it's
I
actually,
can take that.
If you're going for the true roast, it's fist bump, but yeah, no.
That too. All right, everybody. As always, make sure you're following the show on Megaphone / Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, where Harrison writes, Lakers Outsiders, where I write. Thanks for everybody for tuning in. Last week, we had our biggest week since we moved over to this new platform. So thank you, everybody, for the support that you guys have continually given us. If you have anybody...
And I was on almost all the shows that week. Most of those people got to meet me.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Way to go, everybody. Thank you.